literally forgotten how to do this.
Hello, friends!
Hello, friends, and welcome to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It me, Alice Slater.
I'm so out of the game, man.
I know, fuck. I hope that you keep that exactly as it is, though.
I will.
Give the people authenticity.
I was like, I don't even remember how I edit a podcast. I'm going to have to relearn what I do to get us from yap to ear holes. Like,
that's none of my business.
That's all on me. It's all on me. Yeah. It's been a minute.
It has been. I was trying to work out when we actually last recorded.
Did we do an end of year roundup last year?
We must have done.
Probably didn't, knowing us.
Probably not. Oh, we're sorry.
But Alice, the aforementioned good friend and business partner, Alice has been on the road recently talking about her new novel, Let the Bad Times Roll.
The bad times do be rolling.
And when you've been promoting this book, you've had one question that's come up a lot.
Every single event, and also in lots of bookshops that I visited to sign copies, the people have been asking, where is the podcast?
Here is the podcast.
And my answer is, I don't fucking know.
We've been busy.
We've been busy.
But when haven't we been busy? But you are a busy mum. You're a mum of two.
But also, I do think, I know a lot of people record podcasts remotely.
Mm.
We don't like to do that. We like to look each other in the eye. Mm. We like to be in the same room. I don't know why. I just feel like the chat flows so much better.
I agree. So we are in the same room now.
And there is also the usual caveat when we're recording at my house. I have not one, but two little doggies now tiptoeing around. So you may hear scratchy claws. You may hear an unexpected bark. We will edit out anything too crazy, but just be prepared.
Proceed with caution. So we meant to sort of record this maybe a month ago, but we didn't. That is a mid-year roundup. We're still in July. We're still within the legal limits of, like, mid-year. I would have liked to have done it, you know, a little bit sooner, but it's still mid-year.
Yeah, I think it still counts.
It still 100% counts. How has the year been for you, reading-wise?
So reading-wise, I think I'm set for my slowest year yet. I've only read about 20-something books, which is also one of the reasons why, I guess, I wasn't in such a big rush to record this episode, because I kept thinking, like, I've got time, I could read a few more, but that's a fool's game. You know what I mean? Like, I've read what I've read, it's fine.
Yes.
Do I sound too defensive? I sound offensive.
Well, no, but, you know, I feel like I have been somehow substancing you. I am Margot Qualley in this equation and you are Demi Moore.
Perfect, yeah.
So, like, in previous years, you would have read loads.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, ain't reading shit. Whereas I'm having my biggest reading year ever.
Ah!
Partly, yeah, sort of semi-intentionally that I decided at the beginning of the year. I feel like last year, every time we talk about books, I'd be like, not really reading much, having a slow reading year. And I was like, bitch, you know why. It's because you waste so much time. You waste time on your phone.
Also, I will say you are the person that wastes the least time out of everyone I know. You're a very productive person.
I'm productive, but when I'm not producing,
yeah,
I feel like there are things I know I could be doing with my time that I often do not do, or historically do not do, like reading, because I love to play on my phone. As do we all.
As we all do. I mean, I think I've definitely been in like a brain rest era.
Yes.
Where getting Let the Bad Times Roll finished, it was out the trap by January.
Mm.
So really this calendar year, I haven't had to be doing as much as I have previously. I just have been so tired, and I think I needed a break from words. I needed a break from my brain. And also I think I kind of felt, since publishing Death of a Bookseller, my place in the ecosystem has changed slightly, and I'm sure you found this as well when you transitioned into being a lady author. Like, I don't really want to just share everything I'm reading on the internet anymore. I don't think it's appropriate to post reviews. Not that I ever posted negative reviews, but like,
you're not just a rando anymore.
Yeah, like, so I feel a bit more cautious about what I share. It does also mean that I'm not reading as much for the purpose of producing content, which for me is a much healthier brain space to be in. I'm no longer reading for content. I'm reading purely for pleasure.
Yeah.
So I'm following my little nose into the most pleasurable corners of my library. And yeah, it just means I'm reading a lot chunkier books.
Yeah.
I'm not so worried about reading slowly. I'm way quicker to put things down if I'm not enjoying them, because I'm not going to feel like a sunk cost fallacy energy, you know? And all of that has led to me just not reading as much. But I feel like the quality has been Chef's kiss. It's been great.
I feel like we are both living our truths, you know? Or we're doing what we need right now. Last year, I was, like, not vibing. This year, I'm vibing hard. Reading a lot more than I was. Mostly things that I'm really enjoying. You know, there's the occasional dud, but I feel like I'm only persisting with books where I think they are interesting to me in some way. I will not persist with books that are neither good nor interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say that I have loved every book I've read this year, but I definitely got something out of every book I've read.
Yeah, definitely.
I have not persisted with, you know, there were, you know, for example, I didn't love Scaffolding by Lauren Elkin as much as many other people loved it, because what I learned is I actually don't particularly care about psychoanalysis. Mm. So if a book is heavily about psychoanalysis, maybe I will not read that in the future. But I felt like I was getting enough contemporary Paris vibes from the book that I was like, you know what, I'll stick with it. We're going to focus mostly on, like, new releases in this chat, but we've both got, like, a few things we've read this year that we would like to mention that are not new.
Should we sort of take it in turns with our front list first? So also, this is slightly unusual, because normally when we're doing, like, best of roundups or whatever, I focus on what's been published that year, not necessarily what I've read. But I don't want to do any duplicates of any previous episodes, so I'm not going to talk about books that came out this year that I read last year.
Yes,
this is strictly just like a reading diary. The first one on my list is Thirst Trap by Grainne O'Hare.
Yes, I like the look of that.
Have you not read it yet?
I have not read it.
I really liked it. It's about a bunch of uni pals, one of whom has passed away before the start of the novel, and they're living in this really shit flat, kind of coming to terms with the end of an era kind of thing. It's simultaneously so fucking funny and really heartbreaking. I had a really nice time in this novel and I really recommend it.
This sounds right up my street. I'd seen it around, especially on like discerning cool Irish people internet.
Yes.
So I will prioritise that.
And it has an iconic cover. It does. If you don't recognise the title, you may recognise the description of the cover. It's like a cigarette and a Barbie shoe.
Yes.
So fun.
It's great fun. So for me, the new things I've read this year are... they are both things I read this year and things that were released this year. That is my criteria for this list. So the first thing I read this year that was new was Strange Pictures by Uketsu, which you probably read last year.
I read it last year. I read it on a plane, so in one go, which was the perfect reading experience for me.
I also read it in one go because I was just so hooked. I loved it. So it's a strange little thing. You're probably better at describing it than me.
So basically, the author, Uketsu,
yep,
is a Japanese anonymous YouTuber known for his kind of puzzles, basically. Like picture-based puzzles, image-based puzzles. So this book is kind of like a mystery. It almost feels like a series of unconnected stories that have an image as a puzzle at their core. But they are actually connected. It's really fun. I couldn't work out a single one for myself. No. That's almost the beauty of it. Sort of like, it reminded me of, you know, like Jonathan Creek or like, how do I remember Jonathan Creek immediately? And I have to pause to think of the name Sherlock.
Yeah, well, the lesser Jonathan Creek.
You know, like the way that their minds work, these kind of like detective characters, their minds, they pick up on things that there's no possible way the viewer or the reader could pick up on. That's kind of what I feel Strange Pictures does.
Yeah.
The challenge is not to try and solve the puzzles yourself, it's just to enjoy the ride.
I enjoyed the ride so much.
And there's a new one as well.
There is a new one.
Which I have, but I haven't read yet.
Okay. I will definitely read a new one by him. I hope he can, like, maintain. I worry. I don't know.
To be honest, I feel like this is what his whole career is based on. Okay. So I suspect.
Probably can maintain.
Yeah.
This is what we want. So yeah, that's a real strong rec from me. I think if you like having fun, you should read that book.
Also, if you just like to bang through something, it's very gripping. Next on my list is the book that I have been telling everyone to read, even though, to be perfectly honest, I don't think it needs my help. Sky Daddy by Kate Folk.
Yes.
Oh my God, it's so good. So Sky Daddy is about a woman who is sexually aroused by airplanes. And her dream is to marry one via the medium of dying in a plane crash. So it's not one for nervous flyers, but it's so good. It's kind of like Crash by J.G. Ballard meets Melissa Broder or Miranda July. Oh, God, I absolutely loved it. And then also sub book recommendation. I also just read Out There, her short story collection, which is so good. Like, if you enjoyed Eliza Clark short stories, if you like those kinds of, or Mary South, do you remember that one?
That was so good.
Very much that energy. Okay. Like, the first story, I won't go on, but, like, the first story is called, like, The Last Woman on Earth. And it's, like, very much, it's just so ridiculous and so fun. So, like, all women have died. All women have gone, apart from this one woman. So the men put her on a talk show. And then she has this, like, talk show. But then they all start to complain that she only has a talk show because she's a woman. It's just so funny and weird and brilliant. I cannot recommend it enough.
I'm going to invest in Kate Folk. I'm going to see, when I'm not using my phone to record this episode, I'm going to go on Libby and see what's going on.
Sort yourself out.
Sort myself out. So my next new release was Guide Me Home by Attica Locke. We know I'm an Attica Locke head. This is the latest and I think final installment of the series about the Texas Ranger. And it was as good as all the others. She, for me, is like reliably high quality, thoughtful, intelligent, well-written, contemporary crime. Loved it, found it very moving, which I wouldn't necessarily say is something that I have found in previous Attica Locks. If you have never read Attica Locke, please do that. What have you got next?
I have another short story collection, actually, Rejection by Tony Tulithamuti.
Yes, I was going to refer to him as Tony T, because Kish, who published this book, friend of the pod, maybe whose birthday we're going to after we have recorded this, maybe.
Who can say?
She said to me the other day that he said, if you cannot pronounce my name, it's okay to just call me Tony T.
I respect that.
So, Rejection. We all know what book we're talking about. Rejection.
Yeah, Rejection. So it's a short story collection on the theme of rejection, and it is gasp-worthy.
I enjoyed this so much. This is one of my new releases.
Oh,
so
on your
I
list.
Tick that off. It was on my list. I love this book so much. I didn't feel like every story was as good as every other story.
It's not a perfect album, but I think that's okay.
It reaches highs that almost no other book I've ever read in my life
was at least two moments where I was in public reading and my response to what was happening on the page was so burlesque. Like, I gasped out loud and put my hand over my mouth. Which feels really fucking naff, doesn't it? Like, who the fuck does she think she is? But it was just so naughty.
It is so naughty.
It's so cheeky and wild and just...
It's very audacious in many different ways. So they're like... It is not a spoiler to say that they're like loosely connected.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
They are. The short stories are loosely connected in ways that become apparent as the book goes on. My favourite short story is the one... with the Big Bang Theory mention.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know will also appeal to you.
The CEO dude. Like, yes. Very LinkedIn tone of voice.
I can't even explain. There's like an It's Always Sunny character that he reminded me of as well. Like, there's just... I loved that story so much. And I think if you just want to have a fun, very naughty, very audacious time... This is the book for you.
Oh, man. You know, as we're talking about it, I only read it 3 months ago, so I already want to reread it.
I would consider doing it on audio.
Yeah, no, I vibe with that.
My next one was I Make My Own Fun by Hannah Beer, which I read to chair an event with her at Dawn Summertown, which was delightful.
I love that woman.
I think she is so great.
Uh-huh.
Short hair queen, chic, Pat McGrath eyeshadow, love. So I Make My Own Fun is about a Hollywood superstar who, I guess, answers the question of, like, if you can have anything in the world, what do you then want?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do when you could have anything? When no treat exists that you couldn't just have? Which is a state of being that I am truly scared to attain. So I think I must always remain humble so that treats remain treats and I do not become this person. So she... sort of, because nothing scratches the itch of being alive anymore, she just sort of does, like, mad, obsessive, vaguely evil sort of plays with humans and very manipulative vibes, and becomes obsessed with a bartender that she meets in a bar, potentially because she's not that interested in her.
Yeah, she attempts to just sweep this woman off her feet, and the bartender remains pretty indifferent, and that basically sends her into a absolute spiral. I thought it was so fun. I really love books where people behave horrendously and unpredictably, and this is definitely in that category.
Because I feel like often I'm sort of generally a bit bored of the like unhinged woman trope, but I feel like there's stuff in this book that I was like, oh, like that's actually really mad.
But part of the thing I think with the quote unquote unhinged women trope is that just calling a book, you know, unhinged, one for the unhinged girlies has been so overused that it's become completely meaningless to me now. It's no longer something that will make my ears prick up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even though I'd say that actually, like, Rejection is a great example of a book that completely tickles me in the same spot.
Yeah.
But obviously it's not just women. It's a book of
people,
short stories.
Genders.
Yeah, loads of different characters in it. So yeah, I sort of feel like I've become beleaguered by the repetition of the term on the internet. But actually, when the book is right, the book is right.
And this is a genuinely unhinged woman.
Oh,
this
isn't
like someone behaving a bit badly.
Yeah,
it's
no,
like
she
properly
is fully
unhinged.
Yeah.
What's next for you, my friend?
Next for me is Softcore by Brittany Newell. And this is one that I was like, have we talked about this
already? No, we haven't.
Have you read it?
I have received a copy. I have not prioritised reading it yet.
It's so good. It's really good. So this is about a stripper. I'm thinking, is she specifically a pole dancer? I can't remember. And at the very beginning of the novel, her boyfriend goes missing. And it's basically like, it has so many themes I really enjoy. It's got doppelgangers. It goes a little bit surreal. She becomes increasingly, like, her relationship with reality becomes increasingly fractured. It's quite a chunky book, and I was completely gripped by it.
Okay, this is what I needed to hear.
It's so good. And also, what I really enjoyed about it is I was thinking, oh my god, I'm having the best time. I need to recommend it to friend of the pod, Emily Hatzar.
Never heard of her.
Never heard of her. But then she texted me being like, oh my god, I'm reading such a great book. Softcore. And I was like, fuck, we're doppelgangers now. Like, the characters in the book. I don't know. I feel like this book does, like, witchy shit.
Okay, I'm definitely going to read this. I don't know if you would agree or if you even remember this book at all, because it was, like, 8 years ago. But just from the keywords you're giving me, I'm getting You Two Could Have a Body Like Mine by Alex Kleeman.
Yeah, you know what? Very, very different in lots of ways, but certainly the same
energy.
Kind of energy of, like, weirdness.
Okay. Because that's, like, for me, I loved that book. So if this is in the same sort of thematic realm...
It definitely is. I think it dips into a surreal place in quite a literary way, which I know maybe won't be for everyone. Don't expect everything to be wrapped up. It's a thinky one. You've got to put some thinky-thinky, but I loved it.
I'm happy to think.
I'm happy to think.
I had a thought in my life. My next one was El Dorado Drive by Megan Abbott.
Oh, I haven't read that one yet.
I loved this. I feel like Megan Abbott we historically have loved, but then maybe the last couple we have been a bit more lukewarm on.
I feel like some of Megan Abbott's books are my favourite ever thrillers. I absolutely love them. But, you know, she definitely goes for a theme. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
A lot of her books have a central theme. And I guess, it really, for me, it depends on whether or not the theme hits me right.
Yeah. I hear you.
The writing is always bang on. It's just, I think the ones that are close to my heart is because the backdrop elevated it for me, you know?
So El Dorado Drive is set on the outskirts of Detroit at the end of the sort of motor industry. So everybody is, like, poor and living on credit. And it's about some sisters who get involved in a sort of pyramid scheme, and, you know, unsurprisingly, it does not go well. And I still struggle to understand how pyramid schemes work, to the extent to which I will never get involved in one. And it's so great. I feel like this world really worked for me. It wasn't like I was drawn in by the theme, you know, the way that you'd be like, I want to read this one because it's about ballet. I want to read this one because it's about science. I want to read this one because it's about cheerleaders. I can't, you know, pyramid scheme, everybody is poor. Not necessarily like the theme for me.
Yeah.
But I found it so gripping. And obviously her writing is always so gorge. So I would really recommend this.
I like that. All right, I'll give it a go. I've got it on my stack. I very rarely buy hardbacks.
Hate them.
Hate them. I don't like them physically. They are more expensive. I will always buy the hardback at a book launch. Because, you know, yeah. I'm a supportive queen. But generally, if I have not been sent the hardback or have not attended the launch, then I don't buy it. I make an exception, however, for Sayaka Murata.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Suzanne Collins for some reason. I thought you were about to blow my mind and be like...
She is going to come up later, okay. So gird your loins. No, and Vanishing World came out this year, and I couldn't wait. I feel like everything that Sayaka Murata writes, whether it's something like Convenience Store Woman, which knocked my socks off, is one of my absolute favourite contemporary novels, or something like Earthlings, which is just so deeply unsettling, I'm always going to show up for it, you know? And Vanishing World, oh God, I mean, it's just so grim. Have you read it yet?
I have absolutely not. I have not read it.
Will you read it?
Maybe. Tell me about it.
So, it's just really... I think one of the things that's difficult to talk about is the reason why it is so unsettling is the ending. Much like Earthlings. Yeah. That it's really the ending that I lowered the book and was just like...
I feel bad.
What did I just read? But I actually realised as I'm speaking about the book, I can't remember what is and isn't going to be a spoiler. Okay, so basically it's set in a world in which children are only conceived via artificial insemination and raised by parents who live in quote-unquote clean, i.e. sexless marriages. So your spouse is seen as a member of your family, so sex with your spouse is considered incest. And so it's kind of a book about like sex and love and the nature of having children, and it's just so difficult to talk about without saying too much, but it's just deeply weird.
Okay, I mean, I can believe that.
Give it a go, man. Take it for a spin. See what you think. Text me at the end.
Is it long?
No, it's very short.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
We like a short novel.
That was a stressful one to describe.
For the spoilers.
Yeah. I think I wiggled through okay.
So my next one is the opposite of that. It's Fun and Games by John Patrick McHugh. Which is so great, and I feel like it's a real crowd pleaser. So it's about a boy who has just sort of finished school, is in the time between finishing exams, going to university in that like last summer, and he lives on an island off County Mayo, and it's just like him sort of working in a hotel, having his like first girlfriend, doing sports, friendship rigmarole, but it's really like it was unusual for me to read a book from the point of view of a teenager that is an adult book. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are not many.
Definitely.
But it's just so lovingly written. It feels really real and true. It's not like too heavy, but it's like feels adult and substantial. The voice I thought was amazing. It's just a real, like, delight. I really loved it.
I have been recommended it so many times, and I just need to read it.
Just read it.
I just need to read it. I need to obtain a copy, and then I will read it.
It's not that hard to obtain a copy.
I know, but I'm busy. Next on my list, funnily enough, is Evenings and Weekends by Oisin McKenna.
So I feel like Fun and Games is, like, a pleaser in the way that that's... You know, like, yeah, one that you could recommend to anyone. Tell me about Evenings and Weekends.
Evening and Weekends is set during a heatwave in London...
I know about that.
You know this. We all know this. We're both so sticky.
We're sweating.
And we can't even have windows open or a fan on because it interrupts the recording.
We're doing all of this for you. Okay, tell me about Evenings and Weekends.
So basically, and it's about, like, a loose group of people, like a couple, their parents, and their friends. It's kind of about just them living their lives. It is so beautifully written. Oh, and there's a big beached whale. But I find the whale... Everyone brings up the whale when they're talking about this book, and actually I don't care about the whale.
Mm.
The whale is just a kind of thematic backdrop to the weekend that we spend with these characters. But I absolutely loved it. And in fact, the thing I loved most about it, which was kind of unexpected for me, because I don't normally feel that excited about like intergenerational narratives, the mother's story, or the parents, both sets of parents... I absolutely loved them. I absolutely loved dipping back into their lives and, like, learning more about why they are the way they are. And, oh, God, it's just so well realised. Every single character felt so three-dimensional. And the language is just absolutely exquisite. I read it so quickly. I think I read it in a single sitting or maybe over 2 days. I can't remember. I just smashed through it and I was like, man, this is what literature is all about.
Okay, fine. Because I feel like I'm in the same position as you with Fun and Games, where I'm like, I know I should read it, but there's just something that, I don't know. I think maybe it's The Whale.
Yeah, I think people need to stop talking about The Whale. They need to stop talking about The Whale. It's like young queer people living in like London fields, like told with the most exquisite language. Oh my God. I'm surprised by how much I loved it.
Okay. You know? I think I need to read it because if you like it and you also were surprised by how much you liked it, then I will probably like it. You know what I mean?
I think also it was just kind of refreshing because I feel like I have definitely been, at that point, I read this really early in the year. And at that point, I had been reading a lot of quote-unquote unhinged girly books, all of which I've posted about, I completely loved. So I don't mean to be disparaging of them. I love them. It's what I write as well. So like, you know, I'm all over it. But I think I'd read a lot of stuff that was quite high energy and quite high on hooks. And it was great to just read something that was so different to what I normally reach for. Yeah. Give it a go, man. See what you think.
I really feel like the Fun and Games and Evenings and Weekends are like spiritual siblings in terms of what they are giving.
Yeah, they're shaking hands.
They're shaking hands. So my next one, a non-fic entry, Love in Exile by Sean Fairey.
Oh, I also read this.
I loved it. I felt like I liked some bits more than others, but the bits I liked, I really, really liked. So it's a sort of non-fiction memoir about her experiences of like heartbreak and being a person and what is like the, you know, the role of relationships in our lives. And
did you ear holes or eye holes?
I ear hold it. Was it a nice audio?
Yeah,
she's got a lovely voice.
So Sean Fay, I also listened to her first novel, first book rather, The Transgender Issue. So I think she reads brilliantly, and non-fiction for me works better via audio than fiction does. So like on the rare occasion that there's a non-fiction book that I definitely want to read and will prioritise, then I will audio it. But yeah, I thought it was great. Really great.
I thought the best bit, I talked about this on Instagram, but for me, a real unexpected highlight was the chapter where she talks about not wanting children.
Yeah, yeah.
I have never... So famously, for many, many years, the only book in which I'd ever read the case against having children explicitly articulated is the very nasty We Need to Talk About Kevin by the very nasty Lionel Shriver. And I feel like that doesn't necessarily like make me feel good about that. So it was really nice to read the same case being made by someone who I think is a very good person with very good ideas about the world. And so I really liked it for that. And that was like a really unexpected thing for me to like find in that book.
Legit.
Yeah.
Moving on, I'm going to change the tone entirely, and I am going to bring up Sunrise on the Reaping by Suzanne Collins.
Of course you are.
I can't really remember why I read this. I mean, I read the Hunger Games books like back in 2012 or whenever they came out, and always had a good time with them. I didn't bother reading the middle one, the one about
Snow.
Yeah. Didn't care for it, didn't bother. But I don't know, there was something about this one, I was like, yeah, I'm going to...
I care about Hamish.
So I trotted onto the internet and I bought a Kindle edition for like a fiver, smashed through it, had a lovely time, no memory of any of it.
Great.
You know what I mean? It was literally just, it was like having a lovely bath, had a great time, drained the water, gone.
Yep. Absolutely 0% has stayed in your brain.
I did say at the beginning of this podcast that there were some books I had less to talk about. I think I just wanted to like salute the fact that I read it. Do you know what I mean?
But you paid your money, you read
it. I'm trendy, I'm keeping up.
You know young people.
But also, I think the problem is that I probably should have either reread the original trilogy or watched the movies or something. Because when I looked at the Goodreads reviews for it, loads of people were talking about the clumsy, forced cameos of other characters. I had no clue.
Yeah.
I had no idea who any of them were. I don't have the
You're the perfect reader. You're basically the ideal reader for this book.
Like a completely smooth-brained, like, blank page of a woman, just... Lovely.
I respect it.
So yeah, that was fun. Moving on.
So my next one, I think you would love, if you have not read it, and I don't think you have, Confessions by Catherine Airey.
Oh.
Do you know this book?
I know it, because I can see the cover.
It's got a great cover.
Yeah.
It's got such a great cover of, like, a girly with, like, jeans look, Jean Seberg, short hair, holding a kitten in a black and white photo. And then the words confessions down the side in like cool coloured font. It is so great. It is set between Ireland and New York, and it takes place over like various times, and is sort of mostly about like the women from one family. And on the face of it, like, that doesn't necessarily sound like a book that I would be like gasping for joy about, but it's so unique. Like, I really feel like it's got stuff in it that I have not encountered anywhere else. It's got like amazing, I don't know, just the way that she captures times, like, I don't know, 80s New York. I just felt like I was reading something that I hadn't read before, even though I've read books that have those vibes or scopes or themes or whatever. I think she's probably just a really amazing author, and I'm very excited to see the future for Catherine Airey.
Is this her debut?
I believe so.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. It's really good. And I think anyone who listens to this pod would get a lot out of it. It's very this pod coded, I think.
Okay, I'm going to read it.
I think you should. I really think you'd like it.
Next on my list is a little novella. It's just a little novella. It's called Don't Call Mum by Matt Wazolowski.
Oh, yes.
It's so fun. Again, I love a doppelganger. This is like a doppelganger ghost story set on a train that's heading north from, I think it starts in London. It's heading up towards like Newcastle. And it's just really chilling. And I really wish that I had saved it. I just did a ton of train journeys because I was on tour. I really wish that I'd had it on a little train to read because it was just perfect.
On your train north.
It's really spooky. Also, I think it's really fun. The inspiration for the story was that he was thinking about, like, when you find a phone, the quickest way to find the owner is to scroll through the phone book and find mum.
Yeah.
Which I was like, and yeah, so like the creepiness of like, what happens? What would happen?
I want to read this. Do you have a fizzy cop?
I don't have a fizzy cop, but I am going to buy a fizzy cop because it's published by a micro press, so okay, I want to support them.
I will.
And it's part of a whole series of spooky novellas, like very novella, maybe even like short story length. But I've read a couple of them. I think they're great. I'd so like what to is the rest.
Name the press and the...
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me to do that.
It's for the greater good. It's not for the good of my health. It's for the health of the indie presses.
Probably should have done some research before recording this episode, but we've been busy. So it's the Northern Weird Project. Wild Hunt Books. There you go.
Okay.
So it's part of the Northern Weird Project, published by Wild Hunt Books.
Gorge. Okay. I want to get involved in that. That sounds so good. And yes, I will pay Earth Pounds for that. So my next one was One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This by Omar El-Akkad. I was quite resistant to read this, and just because I was like, I know my position on the concept of Palestine. I don't necessarily need to read things that will reinforce my position on that. So it's basically a memoir of this journalist and author, Omar El-Akkad, and blending that with sort of his feelings about being like an Arabic man in the world, both kind of like post 9/11 and also in the era of the genocide of people in Palestine. My friend John, friend of the pod, he is so good at like not hoarding books. So when he finishes a book, he will often just like pass it on to me.
Oh, couldn't be me.
I know. And I was like, you know what? John has really opened my eyes of like a new way to live. And like, I do need to get rid of some books. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I can take the John approach.
You know, I mean, I did used to actually have that vibe because I just felt you don't need everything on hand at all times.
Yeah.
If you suddenly do feel the urge to reread something, you can just rebuy it. However, I have found that I do like to refer back to things too much, that it would be very expensive to replace everything that I just willy-nilly gave away. It's a difficult balance.
I think it depends what kind of like work you do, what kind of person you are. Like, you probably do need to refer to stuff. Whereas, like, I don't know, John maybe doesn't.
Yeah.
But he gave it to me. I felt quite burdened by the book, and I was like, I just emotionally I was just like really resistant to reading it, but I'm really glad I read it. And it was not, I sort of skipped over some, each chapter sort of begins with a bit of a description of like something horrendous from the genocide in Gaza, And I just would not read those because I'm like, I know. I know what's going on. I don't need to read that. But I found everything else so interesting and very thought-provoking. And, you know, sometimes it is nice to read something that articulates your feel, you know, unspoken or unformed thoughts and feelings about something that, like, helps you put to words why you feel the way you feel about something. So I would really, really recommend that book. What's up for you?
Next for me, so this is the last one that I have on my front list And also, it's not out till next year.
That's annoying.
I know. Forgive me, but I want to just toss the name out into the wind so you can say you heard it here first. I read Strange Girls by Sarvat Hasin.
Oh, yes. I really want to read that.
Oh, it's so good. It's so fucking good. So it's about two women who were, like, very close at university, have subsequently become estranged, and are meeting again for the first time in, like, a decade. And we kind of jump between their present day awkwardness and, like, what happened in their relationship in the past, and it's just completely wonderful. I absolutely loved it, and I can't wait for it to hit the shelves. Alas, not till next year, but it'll be worth the wait.
Okay, I look forward to reading that. I have two more on my list. One that'll be really, really quick because we're going to do a whole episode about it. It is Let the Bad Times Roll by Alice Slater. You may have heard of her.
That old thing.
She may be in the room with me as we speak. You don't need me to explain what Let the Bad Times Roll is, friends listening at home. It's Alice's new book. It's so good. And there is a whole ep coming your way about it. So we won't linger on it
too long. We can leave it at that.
So my final front list of the year so far that I would like to yak about is Slags by Emma Jane Unsworth.
Oh!
Which I loved. I did that as audio, and the audiobook is great. So Slags is about two sisters who, one, the older sister takes the younger sister on a sort of weird camper van trip to Scotland for her 40th birthday, and it's about their relationship and also sort of their personal histories, especially around things that happened to them when they were teenagers, and why the book is called Slags, I think. And it is so good. We loved Animals.
Big fan of Animals.
Liked Adults.
Gorge, yeah.
But I think Slags
is the one I return to a lot.
Yes.
I'm intrigued about Slags. I will read it.
It's so good. It really, like, surprised me in lots of ways. I found it quite, like, it didn't always... I don't know if it was, like, misdirection or just it didn't sort of do the things that you expected it to do, but did things that delighted me even more. I really, really loved it. And I think Emma Jane Unsworth is a gorgeous, charming, delightful person.
Agreed.
Hi, editing Bethany here. When I came to edit this, I realised that because of the way we've been kind of jumping around between us and sometimes wanting to talk about the same book, and I had not put my list in a particularly sensible order or read it in a particularly sensible order, that I had missed one of my new release books that I wanted to talk about, which was Getting Away by Kate Sawyer, which is a very kind of multi-generational story set between kind of the 1930s, 40s and the present day, which tells the story of one family via the medium of the British relationship to holidays. So it's all about the various generations of the family and what's going on with them through the lens of different holidays that they go on over the decades. And it's just like a really gorgeous, like, family saga. It's very clever. She's very good at writing character. But I also found that, yeah, thinking about the idea of holidays, very, very interesting and not something that I had really come across in books like that before. So I would strongly, strongly recommend Getting Away by Kate Sawyer.
Should we hit the backlist? What have we read this year we'd like to tell people about that is not necessarily new but exists in the world? I have four. How many do you have?
I've also got four.
Okay, cool. I'll go first then.
Please.
I read for the first time in my entire life The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
You are so crazy.
Listen.
She is a loca.
Let me talk you through it, all right? I got given a proof back in the day, which I cannot believe now. I feel like if I still had that proof, like, the internet would rip my arms off for it. But yeah, I had a proof, but it was a massive floppy, like, hardback sized paperback, you know, like when they're really big. And I just could not carry it around. I couldn't do it on my commute. It was driving me crazy.
Something you may not know about Alice. Yeah. She actually has very small hands.
I have tiny little doll hands.
Yeah.
They're teeny, teeny, tiny.
I was built for a large book.
Yeah, you were made for The Goldfinch in proof format. So I know this is a really wild reason to stop reading it, but like I read the first chapter, which starts off with a bomb exploding in a New York art gallery. So it's a very dramatic, very exciting beginning. And it just did not... Polite little feet.
The clip-clopping of tiny little feet.
Yeah, it just didn't stick. And I'm a big fan of putting something down if I'm not fully into it. Especially if it's something that I expected to love.
Mm.
Because I'd rather come back to it when I'm ready for it. And then I will have a better reading experience. So that's what I did. I put The Goldfinch down. I bought a paperback Christmas 2020 with the intention of reading it over the winter break. And then I sold Death of a Bookseller. And since then, every Christmas, I have spent working on novels, like trying to meet deadlines, that kind of thing. So I've been waiting for a time when I'd have the headspace to sink Commit. Into it and enjoy it. And I'm really proud of myself because I really nailed that situation. Yeah. It took me 2 weeks to read it. I did not rush in the slightest, but I was so drawn to it. Like, it's such a delightful book to be in. There's loads of grim shit in there as well, but like Donna Tartt on the page is just, she dances. Like, yeah. her use of language is just so incredible. She doesn't show off. It's not kind of over the top in it. It just every sentence sings, and what an incredible time.
And your approach to come to it when you were ready has really paid off, because you got to actually like engage with it, enjoy it, love it, experience it at its best.
I think also I was quite hungry. I've been very front list forward for a long time. And so I was quite hungry to read like incredible work that is not necessarily brand new.
And it does not correspond to trends.
Exactly. Something that sits completely outside of like the buzzy themes of the minute. Incredible choice on my part. I'm giving myself full credit.
Yeah.
But I think also, like, I find I actually read it off the back of rereading The Secret History on the page. Normally now, I think I've read The Secret History probably more than 5 times. I think I've got 3 or 4 times listed on Goodreads, but I first read it when I was 18, 20, something like that. Now, whenever I reread it, I love to reread Donna Tartt doing the audiobook because it's just so brilliant. But rereading it on the page is such a different experience. Can you stop tap dancing your way through this room, please, Mama? And yeah, I think I was so sad I was so sad when The Secret History came to an end. I wanted to spend longer in Donna's prose, so it felt like the natural thing
Next
to do.
Thing. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
So my discovery of the year so far, I know you haven't read these books, but our good friend of the pod, Jenny Tighe, has just also got into them. The Kate Atkinson, Jackson Brody books. I feel like I always need there to be a treat in the world that I have not yet engaged with. Like, I can't have everything now. I need to save things for a rainy day. And for me, I was like, I know one day will be the time for me to engage with the Jackson Brody books. So I have read, I think there's 5 or 6 so far, however many there are, I have read all except 2 of them. So I've still got 2 that I'm saving for when I need them the most. And I feel like I may be needing them soon. So it's just a series of amazing literary sort of crime novels about a private detective called Jackson Brody. And they're all quite different from each other. And they are all amazing because her writing is just so unbelievable. Think what you like about him, but I remember Richard Osman saying that he thinks that she is like our finest writer. And I was like, you know what? I think he may be right. Like, she is so unbelievable. Like, her way of capturing, like, the sadness of, like, individual human lives, I find very, like, moving. But just they're so exciting. They're so, like, propulsive. I love them. So Kate Atkinson, Jackson Brody books, I love. Case Histories is the first one. You should read them in order.
Okay. I have never read them. I have been recommended them many times, though, but...
So for me, they fall into the same category as, like, Attica Locke. Like, they are so smart and not, like, trend vibes. They're not, like, a sort of... I don't know, they really stand alone as books that have, like, great plots, but also, like, the writing is just immaculate. Please, what is your next backlist?
What is my next backlist? I've already banged on about this on the internet a lot, but I read The Driver's Seat by Muriel Spark.
Yes.
So Penguin, for their 100-year anniversary, have released 100 little books.
Little white books.
And I was very lucky that a publicist reached out to me and asked if I would like any. And I just said, send me all the goth shit. And she did. So I got, like, you know, Bram Stoker and Mary Shelley, like, you know, actual goth stuff. And then The Driver's Seat was in the mix. And I was like, now, why do I have this one? The cover that I'm used to seeing makes it look quite prim.
Interesting.
You know, like, it just, I just kind of imagined that it was something a little bit more cozy. And I decided to give it a go, though. And from the very first scene of this woman just having a complete mental breakdown in a department store, I was hooked.
It's a mad little book.
It is so mad. It's completely wild. It packs such a big punch. I loved it. And I immediately went out and bought a bunch of other Muriel Spark novels, all of which sound quite spicy as well.
Like, they're all crazy in their own special way. Yeah, I think there's a lot to enjoy in Muriel Spark.
Yeah, good shit, man.
So my next backlist is one that completely passed me by when it came out. I had never heard of this book before in my life. And then someone I know mentioned it on Instagram. I instantly ran to the Libby app and was able to instantly borrow it from my library and read on my phone. Sea State by Tabitha Lasley. I cannot stop recommending this book to people. And anytime I mention it around someone who is like into memoir, they're like, oh my God, that book is so good. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. It's known among, like, discerning people. I think it came out during lockdown and people are like, oh, yeah, that's why it didn't pop off. I don't know why it didn't pop off because it is truly going to end up being one of my books of the year. Sea State is about a journalist, Tabitha Lasley, who goes to Aberdeen to interview men who work on offshore oil rigs. And that is what she thinks she is writing a book about. And then she starts having an affair with one of the men on the rigs. And it is then about bad decisions that she makes. And it is just so great.
I love a book about bad decisions.
I like a book about women making bad decisions way more than I like reading the kind of, like, women going mad books. Do you know what I mean? I want them to be, like, in control of the bad decisions, like, actively.
That is such a good distinction, and I completely agree. And I think that that's why I Make My Own Fun is so great.
Yes.
Because she's kind of in control behind the wheel. It's just that she is veering off piste. Yeah. Like,
to me, it was like I Love Dick meets a book about offshore oil, which is a world I know nothing about and is actually so interesting because it is, like, properly a world. Like, it's its own. There's stuff I had no idea. Like, the concept of oil does not enter my brain. And, like, the universe that you exist in if you work in offshore oil is, like, you live on another planet. It's like working on the moon. And so this book, I cannot recommend it enough. Sea State, Tabitha Lasley. Get it.
All right. My next one is The Stepdaughter by Caroline Blackwood.
So good.
So fucking good. So this is the same author as The Fate of Mary Rose, which was one of my favourite books that I read last year. The Stepdaughter, I mean, God, how would you describe The Stepdaughter without dropping any spoilers? It's like about a woman who's writing letters describing essentially how much she hates her stepdaughter.
Who has come to live with her with very short notice and against her will in their flat in New York.
And, like, it's very claustrophobic. I did find it a little bit fatphobic.
It is quite fatphobic.
So I want to throw that out as a caveat that I feel like I have quite a high threshold for fatphobia in fiction. When it's super justified, it doesn't bother me as much. When I say justified, I mean, if it makes sense. Yeah, contextual. If it makes sense for the character. It wasn't perfect for me. I felt like it was a little bit too much, but so proceed with caution. But the actual plot of the book, banging.
Yeah.
So banging, took my breath away. I just wanted more of it though. It's really,
I was gonna say, it's a little book.
Yeah, it's a novella, and it slaps. So yeah, I'm excited. I don't know how much more Caroline Blackwood wrote.
I don't either, and I don't know how much is being reissued. Mm. Is it Virago that has all her
I
stuff?
I think so, yeah.
They're doing such a good job with reissuing cool
honestly
shit.
We're in the reissue era right now, which I'm really pleased for, because we suddenly have this huge number of readers who are kind of, like, new to the world of books, who've maybe just discovered or rediscovered their passion for reading. So it's really exciting seeing all these incredible novels getting a second wind. So yeah, Caroline Blackwood, banger.
on a very different note, so I've got two more. One is very dark and one is not very dark. So I will go with the not dark. Still Life by Sarah Winman.
Oh, okay.
Is a book that, again, almost like the Kate Atkinson ones, that I was like, I know when I read it I'm going to love it, but I want to, like, save it. And I read it this year, and it is so gorge. It is just so beaut. It's set in, like, over many decades, but, like, begins in the Second World War, and partially set in London, partially set in Florence, and I thought it was going to be quite twee, and it's really not. Like, the writing, I think maybe she could be twee, so I'm maybe not, like, gung-ho about reading all her other books, but Still Life is a masterpiece. I thought the characterization was unbelievable. It made me really want to go to Florence again. I loved it in every possible way. And I think, again, it's one that I would just, like, recommend to anyone. It's clever. Like, it's not, it's sort of the clever side of populist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, like, it's very, like, elegant book club for, like, discerning people, you know? What is your last entry?
I have one more. Yeah, I do. I read One Day by David Nichols.
I've never read it. I have never read it.
Tell you what, mate, it's a good time. Sad time.
Yeah, I just think I know too much now. Like,
this is the one thing. Is that I did know what the ending. I know how the book ends. I assume most people listening have probably had contact with either the TV show, the movie, or the book. I'm still not going to spoil it, however, because we don't do that around here. But yeah, generally, I don't think spoilers, 99% of the time, don't really matter. Because it's really about how things play out and not what. But this is one occasion where I really wished I didn't know, because I think it really would have taken me by surprise. Yes. But also, because I knew that ending, I was quite distracted with thinking through how the mechanics of the ending of the book would work. And basically, I'm just too damn smart, man.
Yeah.
Because I was very distracted by knowing the end.
The conclusion.
So then I was like, well, there's only one possible way for the actual book to end, which will be X, Y, and Z, and that's exactly what happened. And that's really annoying, because I feel like it's a really original, fresh, like, really exciting work. And yeah, I just felt like my reading experience was slightly robbed from me.
So basically, if you're going to read One Day, and you haven't already watched some version of it, maybe do it now.
Yeah, before someone spoils it. Although I still have to say, like, despite that element of my reading experience, it's fucking great.
I feel like he's maybe similar to Kate Atkinson in the, like, capturing people's lives, you know, like, sort of capturing, like, human life and the texture of human life. And
yeah, definitely.
I don't know, like, that sort of emotional intimacy. I think David Nichols is generally... I haven't read this, but I read Us, which is the one about the family going on, like, a tour of Europe together and them not getting on. And I found that really, like, emotionally captured something about, like, unhappy, you know, unhappy English people.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think... I don't think I'm ever going to read One Day, but...
You never know, though. You never know. One day you might find yourself by a swimming pool...
And the only
free library.
And the only thing I haven't read is One Day. But yeah, like you, I feel like knowing the denouement has sort of deprived me of the
pleasure of discovery.
But also, like, the motivation as well.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, no, you are right, because what actually motivated me to read it is that I specifically wanted to read something a little bit more experimental that looks at, like, long-term relationships between people. So that was what actually drove me to read it, was the mechanics of the narration, and incredible. Did not disappoint in the slightest.
Mm.
He is such a talented writer.
Agree. And maybe we're the first people to say that.
I assume.
So my final entry for favourite things I've read so far this year is Acting Class by Nick Durnaso.
I don't think I even know it.
So, we'll remember a few years ago when a graphic novel got shortlisted for the Booker.
Obviously, yeah. Sabrina.
So he has three graphic novels.
Yeah.
There is Beverly, Sabrina, and the latest one, which came out in 2022, is called Acting Class. And I read that this year, and it is amazing. I just want to read more books by him, because when I've asked the internet for, like, books that are like books by him, people just recommend me other graphic novels.
Oh, and that's funny.
No, I want graphic novels that leave me feeling very uncomfortable and unhappy. So this is about a group of people who meet at this, like, experimental acting class.
Yeah.
That's sort of slightly mysterious and weird. And it's kind of like, you know, I use this with caution, but Lynchian. Ooh. Like the vibe of, you know, the sort of uncomfortable, weird, uncanny feeling. And yeah, I think it will remain one of my books of the year. I heard on the grapevine that, like, maybe Ari Aster was in the mix to, like, adapt a film version of it. If that gives you a sense of, like, what kind of world we are in.
No, I will definitely read this because I really liked Sabrina. I was very excited to see a graphic novel on the... It was the book, wasn't it? I was really excited to see a graphic novel on that list. I thought that year was particularly fun. There was a thriller as well on there. Like, it was a very mixed
Snap
bag.
By Belinda Bauer.
Yeah, which was, you know, it was okay.
Didn't read it because I heard it was just okay.
Yeah, you know, it surprised me.
But Sabrina was so good.
But Sabrina was a fucking banger.
Which is about, sort of, weirdly about, like, ends up being about, like, online radicalization.
Yeah, and very ahead of its time in many ways. Like, sort of toxic male violence. Oh, it's just, it's so good. It's so powerful. So yeah, I will absolutely read the rest of his work.
I think you will love Acting Class. I think you will love the atmosphere. I find his visual style really nice to look at as well. But I think, more than anything, I love the, like, weird substance of his work. So that's my final rec.
Banger.
We've done so well.
I will commit to posting a book list on our social media. What I'm not going to promise is that they'll necessarily be in the order in which we've discussed them.
They're just
going
to be there.
They're just going to be there, though. I will do that. But it also depends when this episode goes up. I don't know if it'll be up immediately. I don't know. Don't worry about it. Check back on our social media. It will be there. Or you can just message us if you missed a title and you want to know.
Agree.
Gorge. All right.
See you next time.
Bye.